Welcome back to season 2, episode 3 of Girl, She Did That.
Welcome back. Right into it. The girl, she did that. Welcome back. Hey, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
All right, Bri. What we doing today? How you feeling today?
Let me be careful.
All the questions today.
Let me be mindful of how I answer this question.
Oh, God.
Good is not a feeling.
It's not.
I'm feeling content.
Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm. How you feeling?
I'm going to follow up with satisfied.
Oh. Okay, satisfied.
I'm feeling satisfied.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You drinking a night?
I am drinking my Old Faithful because it never does me wrong. Just like my husband, he never does me wrong. So I'm sticking with the Hennessy.
Okay. Well,
what about you?
I'm the same. I'm gonna stick to me because I don't do me wrong.
Okay. Okay. Really. I step right on into that one. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Lead on in there. The tequila.
Okay, tequila. Mm-hmm. Okay, tequila. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's serving you?
Yes.
Very okay. So speaking of serving, who are we honoring today?
Today we are going to honor the magnificent, wonderful Miss Tabitha Brown. We are honoring her because she has trailblazed through entrepreneurship like no other. I mean, everything she touched, it becomes success. And for some reason, that bothers a lot of people.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the situation with, what's his name? Darius Cook?
Yeah, we ain't giving him no platform, though.
Okay, but with that situation of telling her how she should run her business, the way that he feels that she should, it's just very interesting because it's like, if it's not broke, what are you trying to fix? Right?
And right? It's inappropriate.
And along with being inappropriate, like nobody asked you.
No.
Like,
no.
I just feel like this is the same woman who retired her husband.
Yeah, it is.
And also what people have to understand about entrepreneurship or business in general is that like when it comes to like supplies and products and all that stuff, like Target is obviously cutting her a deal that supports her lifestyle that she wants without her having to do all of the footwork of like getting the products done and made and storing them and then having to do inventory. And like Target handles all of that. They're just like, hey,
absolutely. Now,
what's your idea? And she's like, oh, I think we should do this and this. And I'm sure that they probably have a team that basically brings that to light. So this now becomes less stressful so that she can focus on other things to make her money or focus on her family.
Yeah.
But some people don't want to buy a place to store products and do inventory and do all that. And of course you end up making more money because you're doing more work.
Sure.
But sometimes people just delegate things so that their lives can be easy. Like, is it really worth being up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning doing inventory when you could just hire somebody, put that a part of the budget and hire somebody to do that so that you can go on vacation with your family?
Right.
Like, I mean, the choice is yours. It's all about what you have as your budget. And how you want to run your business. But I just feel like nobody asked. It's just like he just came out of nowhere. And because he has a platform, his opinion got above other like negative comments. And lastly, speaking on him.
Oh, yeah, because you own one. You own one today, baby.
Well, because like I don't like it when people bother people who mind their own business.
Yep.
Like, it's not like Tabitha's looking for attention or, you know, is like, hey, look at me type of thing. She's like literally like, I love my family. I love people. I love God. And like, I'm going to show y'all how God shows up in me. I'm going to even like inspire you to have a good day, even when you're not having one.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's sitting here spreading positivity and light. And here you come criticizing. So that's what really is bothering me. But my last part is that, did we not learn anything from Wendy Williams?
You said that.
Like,
come on.
Did we not learn anything? Like, literally, Tabitha was like, hey, I'm going to say what I have to say, and I'm going to leave it at that.
That's
and
it.
He said, I'm going to let God handle it. And he did.
No, like, I feel about them prayers.
About who you speak on. So why are you worried about somebody who is following God's path for them and doing the work when God has already given you your assignment, but for some reason you're not at your table doing the work? That'd be very interesting.
That's good. You're not at your table doing your work.
Yeah, why are you over here? You're supposed to be over there.
That's good, Brie.
That doesn't make any sense. Who's attending to you? Who's making love to your old lady? Why you not making love? Who's doing it?
Brie, you? Wow.
Where about y'all? But yeah, those are my 2 cents.
Okay. Well, Miss Tabitha Brown, you are a woman, a girl that did that. And we are proud of you, right? And girl, I was in the Target the other day and bought some of yours. So you continue to sell it in the Target. I will continue to go and buy it.
Support.
Please buy our merchandise as well. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So what are we getting into today?
So today we are going to get into basically how do you see success today versus what you thought it would be growing up. So let's get straight into it.
All right.
Okay. What did success look like for you growing up, and how has that definition changed over time?
What did success look like? I think growing up, it looked like having a bunch of money, having a fancy house, having a fancy car. Reality. I don't have any of those things currently. Okay. The big fancy house. Okay, it's coming. Okay. All right. Cool. The big fancy car. I just paid my car off. I don't want another car. I'm good. Yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like. I mean, growing up, I mean, I grew up in the hood. So it was like, if you made it out of there, you know, you was a success, essentially, right? And so that's what it looked like. But now that I'm obviously an adult, older, success is really what you make it. I feel like what I've made it. I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm an imposter, like an imposter syndrome. Right. Where I don't feel like I should be doing some of the things that I'm doing, because I've never been here before. I don't know what that looks like. So it's literally me just paving the way and asking questions along the way. That makes sense. Yeah.
I think a part of that, I feel the same way as far as like, you know, trying to find your way. I think that for me, growing up, I grew up in a two-parent household all the way up until I was 6. And my father passed when I was 6 years old. So my mom has been, you know, it's just been us and my mom and my siblings since then. And I think that, you know, I thought that I would be married way before 30. And I thought I would have 3 kids by now, like my mom. None of those things have happened.
But it's coming, just like that big fancy house.
Correct. Correct. I think that, yeah. Correct. I think that, you know, where I would want to be in my career looks different now. And I think that just growing up, I feel like my dreams were kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm reflecting as an adult, is that like, I don't think that as kids, we get the option of what your life could be like. Like, nobody talks about the aunt who doesn't have kids and right. what her life looks like. Mm-hmm. Or nobody talks about the uncle who doesn't have kids and what his mm-hmm. life looks like. Like, all these different lives that people live, it's always two-parent household, get married, have kids, you know, have a job, have stability, all those things. And that's great. But mm-hmm. there's just so many other lives that people live. People live so differently. Like, there's some people who choose to travel more. You know, yeah. there's some people who choose to, you know, give their money. Or there's some people who are like, I don't even want any, like, the stress of a house and cars and all this stuff. Like, I just want to live in my little van and travel, you know, the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wasn't trying to rhyme, but it was good though. So, you know, it's just all these different options. So I think that, like, my life is nothing like what I thought when I was a little girl. But I think, like what you said, like, I'm just learning and, like, rolling with the punches and really just appreciating where I am today. Because, you know, regardless if I get married or not, like, if I get married, I'm never going to be single anymore. Like,
right.
And I know that there's going to be times where I'm going to reflect and be like, why did I choose to jump into this type of life?
Right, right.
You know? So I just want to, like, you know, be able to soak in what I have now than reflecting on what 10-year-old Brianka wanted for 30.
For real? At 10? For real? I did not see a husband or kids
mm-hmm.
at all. Like, I think I was telling you the other night, I don't see myself as a mother figure at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, that was not anywhere. It was the big fancy house and the fancy car. That was what 10-year-old. No thought of a spouse. Because also I didn't have good examples of what that looked like. So I was like, I don't want to be bothered with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 10. Who would think like that at 10?
I did.
That's wild. Yeah. That's wild. I don't want to be mm-hmm. bothered with that. Mm-mm.
Yeah. But
very different. Yeah.
Very.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. You ready for my question?
I am.
Ooh. Okay. At what point in your life did you realize that success wasn't necessarily about following a traditional path?
I would say early 30s.
Okay.
Well, I think... I mean,
you in it right now.
I'm towards mid-30s. Like, I think I just, like...
I'm sorry. What?
I'm going towards mid-30s.
I'm not okay. Okay. All right. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I think 30s, because I was able to explore more because I went down the route of my parents as far as like going to college and all that sure. stuff. But like, I also like studied abroad and, mm-hmm. you know, I joined organizations in undergrad where I had the opportunity to meet different people and hear different people's perspectives and how they view life. You know, I went to grad school, where I moved, like my first big girl move to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was able to see so many different cultures and so many different people and how they live and, you know, how they go about life. I think that really opened my eyes to that small town girl to being in a big city that was like, oh, okay, like there's more to life than just these things.
Sure.
And, I think that that's what really opened up to like, okay, if I don't obtain these things, I'm still going to be Brianka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to be me. And regardless if I become a mother or not, or if I have a husband or not, I become a wife or not, I still have to maintain Brianka. I still have to take care of Brianka. And I think that that's what I'm learning in my singleness, is that I, not necessarily preparing for it, as people would say, but more so of creating a solid, because I have the time and I don't have distractions, that I'm able to create a solid foundation of me. So if I feel myself losing me, I know what that feels like and I know what to do about that. So where versus people, they're like, oh yeah, like this is the next step. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. And they're learning as they go with a partner. I don't have that distraction of trying to think about a partner and myself.
Yeah.
I'm more so coming forth and saying like, hey, this is what it is with me, versus trying to figure out what it is with a partner, and him being like, oh, well, you know, you're changing, or this isn't what I signed up for. It's like, no, like, this is what it is. There's some flexibility, but like, this is who I am. So, yeah. What about you?
At one point that I didn't realize this wasn't necessarily about following. I think I followed a traditional path as far as like my education goes, although that traditional path in society's way, right? But I think like in family, community, it wasn't traditional. So a lot of it was me trying to figure out what I was doing. As far as my career path went, I feel like I followed that. But like I said, I don't know. I feel like maybe now is where I'm really understanding that your path is your own. And so if you don't like, you know, have a house, or you don't have a car, you don't like, it's okay. Like you will be able to maintain those things. I think a couple of weeks ago, I saw an article of a 90-year-old woman purchasing her first house. You know, and it's like, wow, like even at that age, she has accomplished something that she's been wanting to do all her life, and God allowed her to be able to do that. So it's literally all in his time of when we will do those things, because you never know how you're going to inspire somebody else. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes I get hard on myself by not having certain things like a house and this and that. By a certain age, because that's what the pressures of society tells me. But then I have to remind myself, my journey is my own, you know, and I can't rush into something that I'm not ready for either.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I'm at that point now where I'm realizing, okay, this journey is mine. And it's how God is going to direct me in that journey.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Have you ever felt judged for choosing a different path than what you expected? And how do you stay grounded in your own definition of success?
You stole one of my questions, but okay.
Wow.
Okay, do I feel judged?
Yeah, have you ever felt judged for choosing a different path than what was expected? And then once you answer that, then I'll go to the second question.
Have I ever felt judged for... Not necessarily. I would say in one of my friendships, yes. I definitely felt there was some jealousy there, looking back now. That I chose a different path than that particular individual. But I can't really say that I've had any judgment. If it was, it was behind my back. But for the most part, I felt like I was pretty supported in that. And in the way that I went.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I feel like for me, I feel like I have been judged. So from our, you know, we met in grad school.
Sure.
And we, you know, we mastered in forensic psychology. And so that was the road in which I was going down, being a caseworker, you know, providing those type of social services to people. Mm-hmm. But I decided to up and leave everything and choose to go back home and start a new career.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the easiest decision to make. And at times I still have my doubts, but I have definitely felt judged for choosing a different career path, choosing a second career path. And it's not necessarily judged in a way that is like very like obvious. It's more so of like judged in a way of like passive judgment, like creating doubt.
Mm.
And like, oh, well, you know, like, have you thought about, not necessarily like, have you thought about this or that, but more so of asking questions versus coming to solutions. If I didn't think about something, or, you know, making it seem like I was just doing something that was just very impulsive, which I didn't have everything figured out, but the big chunks of it I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can't necessarily predict the future and what would happen. But, you know, just having that like support of checking in and seeing how things are going, I didn't necessarily have that transitioning into a new career.
That's funny because I always admired you for doing that, for making a decision to leave a field that you felt comfortable in, but also that you wasn't happy in, to pursue something that you really, really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to hear you say that, because it was like, oh man, she really doing this. And then it was just watching your journey, you know, it's like, oh, you really pulled this home. I could do something like that too one day. Yeah.
Not today, but not today.
One day. Yes. One day.
Okay, so the second part is, how do you stay grounded in your own definition of success?
I feel like that's loaded, because I definitely have my days of feeling like, what am I doing and why am I doing this, right? Because I am very passionate about my work in the field of psychology. I am very passionate about it. And some days, because I'm dealing with a lot of bureaucracy, it gets very difficult to keep myself grounded. But then I have moments like the other day where, you know, I've been helping another institution right now who's struggling with psychologists. And I've been doing that for several months now. But for them to put me in for like an award, like that just made my whole day on Thursday. Like somebody actually see like my work. You know, I'm not just rushing through these interviews just to get these people, you know, interviewed and get them through the system. Like I'm actually taking my time. I'm doing the interviews. I'm writing up good reports. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, these individuals are represented in a way that, you know, they going to be seen and heard. And that's going to be through my report, you know, and that made me so happy. Like, oh my, I'm like, okay, like this can, I can go a little bit further now. And so I feel like it's things like that. It just reminds you that this is why you do this work.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and again, when I feel like I'm asking God for like strength, like, okay, God, I need you to give me some strength. He always does these little things to like remind me that you are where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what keeps me grounded.
Yeah. For me, what keeps me grounded, I think, like you said, like seeing the progress. I think going from a real estate agent who, you know, was newly licensed and didn't have a clue in anything as far as buying a home myself or, you know, guiding somebody through that process. But I had to remember, like, this is a job like anybody else. Like, I also never had a mental illness, but yet
I was figured it.
Right.
Right. Like,
people, you know, like, who are medicated, you know, non-medicated compliant. And helping them to get back on their medications. You know, I'm talking to people, you know, I work with adults, older adults who were in their 60s, mm-hmm. 70s, 80s, you know, I'm talking to grown people about their mental health and being empathetic and doing those things as a therapist and realizing right. that kind of like what you were saying, as far as an imposter syndrome, like the funny thing is that, like, I feel like that more in real estate because it's more of an entrepreneurship than mm-hmm. I ever did in mental health. We were in our twenties mm-hmm. when we started. And it's like, yep. I'm sitting here telling somebody who is 45, who's been doing heroin for like 20 years.
Right.
What to do with their life.
Right.
I have it all figured out.
Yep.
You know, I'm providing you treatment.
Right, right.
Why was there no imposter syndrome in that point? Mm-hmm, but I mm-hmm. think that that's the thing that I have to put myself in a position of being grounded, is that, you know, I've made progress. I went from, you know, not knowing anything to now, you know, going on a contract and getting many people into their homes or helping them sell their homes. Mm-hmm. You know, the progress is what keeps me grounded. And, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, like, my friends keep me grounded, you know, mm-hmm. to realize, like, you know, sometimes I can be very, very hard on myself and not give myself any credit for what I have done, and mm-hmm. just being more present and grateful for what I do have, and realizing that I'm a work in progress in all aspects of my life, but I have definitely, you know, surpassed a lot of my expectations for myself.
Mm-hmm. I think I have another one. The more I think about this, is like realizing that I'm paving the way for Black excellence.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my particular line of work, first time I ever had a Black psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm literally making the way for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so if I can make that person's journey after me a little bit easier, I think that also keeps me grounded as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. Oh, okay. I got to come up with
it. Oh, if you have one, I have one.
You got another one?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
What advice would you give to someone struggling to break free from a society's expectations?
Rihanna, you definitely come with these deep questions. What advice would I give someone? To always be yourself. To pick and choose the battles you want to fight, because the battles that you do fight, you're going to be in them for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Stay humble. I think sometimes people think when you get these titles that your head becomes swole. And some people, they do, right? But for me, unfortunately, I have a Black mother who is always willing to bring me down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to come on back to reality, right? Mm-hmm. Finding a way to, you know, and I appreciate that, because I feel like we all need that. I think a lot of people struggle with humility, which is why you find people like Darius Cook in other people's business. And so I think those are the three things I would, being humble, knowing when to fight your battles, but still being yourself, being true to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's most important.
I like it.
You do?
I do.
It was real good, huh?
Those are really good points.
Thank you.
I think that for me, I think that one of the biggest things that I'm questioned about, either quarterly or yearly, when mm-hmm. like, because now we're in real estate, we're about to enter into goal season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to create goals. How many homes do you want to sell? How many people do you need to talk to do this? Blah, 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 blah. So knowing your why is really more so of how you're going to get through society's expectations of you. If you are going against the, like, that's why I really resonated with what you said with the second point, is that if I choose, let's say I choose to not get married and not have children, that's a battle in which I would have to fight either with myself or the world. Somebody might say, well, you know, you're too great or you're too beautiful to not be this and not to be, you know, somebody's wife or not to have kids. Like, you don't want somebody to look like you, or you don't want this, you don't want that. Like, that's a long-term battle.
Yeah.
Which you would have to fight whether you want to or not, or whether you feel like you have to or not. I think that, so knowing your why and accepting and honoring your urge to want to be different and want what you want for yourself.
Yeah.
That really focusing on, like you said, like who you are and sticking to who you are, regardless of what other people may feel. Because one thing I've learned about social media is that you'll always find your community. Good, bad, yes. Different. You'll always find your community. So it's best for you to be in community with people who are similar to you than you being in community with people who think that you're supposed to be a certain way. People will then judge you and think that you're being, you really would be an imposter.
You're
not who you claim to be. So you might as well, and you're going to be judged anyway, so you might as well be judged for who you are than somebody you're not.
Yeah.
So that's what I would tell somebody who is struggling with, you know, breaking free of society's expectations, is that at the end of the day, we've heard so many stories about people at the end of their life term talk about regrets and the things that they didn't get to do. And I think that that's one of the big lessons in life, is that there's no need to live your life for other people who are all going to die at some point. So you might as well honor yourself and live your life for you.
That's good right there, Bri. My Lord, you got me thinking. You got me thinking.
Those are my questions.
I don't have any more, but you did that.
No. You did that.
No, you did.
All right, y'all. This is gonna be a wrap up.
Okay. Another episode.
We do this all night. But we're not.
We're not.
So as always, remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Add us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We are on all platforms, Apple, Pandora, iHeart, all that good stuff. And leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. That will be great. We would love to have your feedback. And also, we do have merchandise.
We have merch.
And it's on our Instagram. Just click the link in the bio. We have plenty of goodies there. So we would love your support. All the good stuff.
Yes, please buy and subscribe. Thank you so much.
Until next time, guys.
Bye.